Good evening and welcome to the WEAA Afro First Edition. I'm Sean Yoes, your host, and tonight we're leading off with politics as we typically do. And to kind of go over this week in review, we have Chris Broughton, who is a syndicated blogger for the Chicago Sun-Times, the author of the nationally syndicated blog Brown Man Thinking Hard. Chris Broughton, welcome to First Edition.
Nice to meet you, Sean.
Yeah, nice to meet you too, brother. Obviously, there's a lot to talk about. Let's start with the most recent news. As we taped the show, we got the news this morning that the unemployment rate actually dropped down 0.1% from 9.5 to 9.4, and that is the first dip in the unemployment rate since April of 2008. It is unexpected news, but it is clearly good news for the Obama administration.
The Obama administration is probably breathing easy today.
Yeah.
As you know, they've got all hands on deck. They're fanning across the country to try to do what they can to let people know, even as they see different things go on with the stimulus package, that their overall plan is working.
Yeah.
Another number that we probably aren't looking at as closely, through Thursday, August the 6th, the stock market is up 41% from its market bottom on March 9th.
Right.
So there are a lot of good things going on in the economy. I see some headlines in some of the papers I read that say that the stimulus cash lifts states and localities.
Hmm.
So he's on the right track.
Yeah, it does appear that way. But unfortunately, the last couple of weeks have been difficult weeks for Obama, whether it was the situation with health care, his poll sliding a bit, the blow up with Skip Gates. It seemed like the Republicans were trying, the Republicans who have been rudderless and directionless have been trying to kind of gain some ground over the last few weeks. But this week, it seemed like some relatively good news, consecutive good news. You got this unemployment number coming down. You've got Sotomayor being confirmed. The cash for clunkers situation seems to be working out. As a matter of fact, they've Congress or Senate has allotted $2 billion more dollars for that. Bill Clinton wins North Korea. So you have kind of a litany of good news this week for Obama. Let's talk about some of this stuff. Sotomayor gets confirmed, 6831. That's not a surprise to anyone who watches the political scene. However, the political ramifications of it are, well, there are a lot of them, but I think the one that kind of screams to me is that, so many Republicans voted against Sotomayor, the first Hispanic, Supreme Court justice, who's going to be the first Hispanic Supreme Court justice, and said some really ridiculous things about her before the hearings and during the hearings. What is your sense of how her confirmation and their being against her is going to impact them politically in 2010 and 2012?
Well, just reading a lot of the reports from some of the Hispanic representatives, both in Congress and the Senate,
mm-hmm.
We are looking at a lot of disappointment.
Sure.
There's a sense that the party has sort of abandoned this particular group of people in the name of ideology.
Right.
Now, one of the things that I will mention, there are 9 Republicans who did vote for
mm-hmm.
Sotomayor.
Including Lindsey Graham.
Including Lindsey Graham, who's actually from my home state of South Carolina.
Okay.
And one of the things I saw on the internet last night, which I figured I'd have to mention here, someone called them the Republican Nine, putting country first. I thought that was a fitting statement for these men who saw beyond their ideology or some of the things that, you know, caused some of the other folks to do the thing that we expect them to do, which is oppose the Democrats, and do something that needed to be done.
Right. So the Republican Nine. Now, conspicuous by his absence from that nine is John McCain, who inexplicably, in a state that is 30% Latino, voted against Sotomayor. Is this just the old mavericky John McCain, the Iraq? What was that just didn't make any sense to me. And I was trying to figure out what was his angle.
Well, some of the local things that are going on in Arizona, they have, as you know, a big Hispanic population, but the re-election game means that you've got to do certain things for the record.
Yeah.
And John does talk a good game, but in the end, he likes being a senator.
Yeah, there's a guy he's probably going to run against who is a immigration reformer. Yeah, I saw that. So, yeah, McCain has kind of positioned himself, kind of one-upping this guy who may be some competition for him when his seat comes back up in, I think, 2012, 210 or 212. I can't remember which one it is. I forgot about that. I forgot. But still, to me, it's just for a party who's lost so much traction and lost so many people with the rise of Barack Obama, it seems like why would they want to alienate the fastest growing demographic in the country, or one of the fastest growing demographics in the country? And it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I heard one Republican strategist say, well, you know, Hispanics are just like any other demographic. They have issues that they're concerned about. And this one won't necessarily supersede all of them. This is the Thurgood Marshall of the Hispanic community. This is the first. This is a source of great pride, from what I can ascertain. This is a source of great pride for the Latino community, for Republican strategists to believe that somehow they're not going to take this hard is pretty far flung to me.
I don't know if you listened to a lot of the confirmation hearings. I saw some highlights because I figured there really wasn't a lot there, that she was pretty much
sure
going to get confirmed.
Sure.
Basically, there were 593 questions, most of them by Republicans, that really didn't amount to much.
Right.
They were the questions of guys who showed their insecurities.
Yeah.
And,
yeah. Why do you hate us?
I'm telling you that they, in many ways, they don't represent anybody but themselves.
Yeah.
Time has changed. Time has moved on, and for a lot of these guys, they're grasping at straws of yesteryear.
Yeah, and speaking of time has moved on, to hear Pat Buchanan, who is one of the revered Republicans, I guess, over the last couple of decades, say that the Republican Party should capitalize on white racial animus in the Sotomayor vote is just mind-boggling that he would make such a statement publicly. But more mind-boggling is that he wasn't rebuked by, I don't remember any Republicans coming forward and saying that he should shut up and keep it moving. So it's extraordinary that this seems like a party that is bent on self-destruction. But, you know.
Well, right now, and just something I picked up here yesterday, if you look at the political party approval ratings, the current GOP rating under Obama is 20%.
Hmm.
The average Democratic approval rating under Bush was 36%.
Wow. Wow. It's
almost double.
Wow.
So they're sinking fast right now, and if there isn't a change, whether it's from the top with Michael Steele and some of the things he's done to push the party over the brink, or I really don't understand his motivation sometimes. Some of the things that some of their less politically savvy members are doing out there, like Michelle Bachmann on the West Coast, you're going to see the Democrats in power for a long time to come.
Yeah. Let's shift gears to Bill Clinton in North Korea. A win for the Clintons, but a win for the Obama administration, obviously. Laura Ling and Una Lee were two journalists who 5 months ago were imprisoned, captured by the North Koreans. I think this week Laura Ling actually admitted that they did briefly cross over into North Korean territory. They had been sentenced to 12 years hard labor. There was no sense of if they were going to be able to be rescued out of North Korea. And then here comes Bill Clinton. Bubba's back in the saddle, comes flying over the ridge, And he comes in for the rescue. And it was really a stunning moment to see these two young women coming off of that plane, just being so ecstatic over their release. And then here comes Clinton, comes down, gives Gore a big old man hug, and he looked great. It was a great moment for Bill Clinton, connected to it was a great moment for the Obama administration.
Well, the big dog is back.
Yeah.
You know, he obviously is a man who needs a big stage, and however they worked it out behind the scenes, to me, it was the best of both possible worlds for Obama.
Sure.
I know he's got a lot on his plate domestically. He's done the tour while he was a candidate as far as going to Europe and getting the accolades from the crowds, mm-hmm. and meeting the heads of state.
Mm-hmm.
But now that he's the actual president, I don't know. I think he didn't really need that test at that time. I'm glad that this got diffused without him having to step in so early in his administration and
deal with North Korea.
And make some decisions that, you know, may come back to haunt him. One of the things they're certainly doing in his administration is looking at the midterm election. So they're being very careful, and sometimes, you know, when you're that careful about the kind of things you're doing, it doesn't work well on a world stage or with foreign policy.
That's a good point. That's a very good point. And one of the most volatile situations on Earth is North Korea, with one of the most unpredictable characters in Kim Jong-il. So you're right that it was a blessing to his administration that Bill Clinton could go in there and deliver these two without much. I mean, it wasn't too much stress. There had been water negotiations that were going along all along the time that they were captured, but the demand was, we want Clinton to come. He acquiesced. He came, and it was over. So you're right. It pulled Obama out of what could have been an extraordinarily messy situation.
Now, the thing that they need to do at this point, though, is put some of the spotlight back on Hillary.
Well,
because she's out there doing the grunt work. She's in Somalia
right now.
Right,
exactly true.
Working with them to try to help improve our relations with their government so that we can get out of some of the situations with the pirates we've had. But she needs some of that spotlight back. This is really her job.
Yeah, well, and you were reading my mind, because she is in Africa. She is participating. She right now, as we speak, is on the second leg of a seven-nation tour in South Africa. She started off in Kenya, and she implored the Kenyan government to step away from the corruption that has kind of crippled that country to a certain extent. At least that was the charge of the Secretary of State. In South Africa, she is speaking about the reform that is necessary in the country to South Africa's north, Zimbabwe. The legacy of Robert Mugabe obviously resonating through that country. I read, I think today, that at one point they had 8 billion percent inflation. I mean, literally, like 8 billion percent inflation. Just a staggering number, a world record, obviously, and just indicative of the rampant corruption, murderous corruption of the Mugabe regime. So, go ahead.
One of the things that it comes to mind while you're talking here is, this time last year, all of the people who were pressuring Obama to make Hillary his running mate.
Right.
And now, a year later, we have a woman who has never been scared of hard work,
mm-hmm.
or tough situations, getting out there and doing the job on a daily basis.
Let's flesh.
I really think it's a better role for her where she is than she would have ever had as a vice president.
Absolutely true. And let's flesh this out a little bit, Chris. I mean, look, this is, let's go back to the campaign. Bill Clinton in South Carolina, you know, the comment about Jesse, you know, Jesse Jackson won South Carolina too. That is the comment that I think he will resent probably until the day he dies, maybe, because that was the comment that allowed the Obama machine to put the race necklace right around his neck. And they rode that thing for a while. It seemed like he was hurting his wife more than helping her. And then when Obama you know, when there was talk that he may reach out to her to become the vice president, all the Obama forces said, no, she'll destroy you. Bill Clinton will destroy you. So then Obama, in a masterful move, decides to pick Hillary Clinton as his Secretary of State. And still there were a myriad of people who believed that that the Clintons would somehow invade the Obama administration from the inside and tear it asunder. And now, you know, 6 months later, Hillary Clinton, in my opinion, is the MVP of the Obama administration.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The thing that I think about the work that she's doing is that, you know, the credibility she has from her previous position as first lady and the kind of involvement she had as a team member of Bill's is one that is unique in history. And both of these people are students of all presidents, including Lincoln.
Sure.
The team of rivals theme, right. And I actually read the book myself, is apropos for what they've actually accomplished, because there are times when you have strong, vigorous rivals and you end up at the end of a political race with a victory where you need to put that energy to work on your behalf.
Right.
And I think it's going to really pay off in spades over the next 2 to 3 years for the Obama administration to have Hillary Clinton on his team, like I said, doing the day-in, day-out grunt work that's necessary for us to have the moments like Bill Clinton had last week.
Right, right, right. Yeah, she has been magnificent in that role, and I agree. She is well-served as Secretary of State, personally and as far as her position in the Obama administration. But there are those out there, conspiracy theorists, if you will, who see a possibility of somehow, I don't know what they're going to do with Joe, but when Obama runs again in 2012, that somehow Hillary Clinton will find herself in the slot of VP, and that could give her the platform to be the next president after, in the Democrats' eye, from the perspective of the Democrats, hopefully, after Obama does 8 years, then Hillary Clinton is right in position. Her popularity is soaring as Secretary of State. Obama's, you know, numbers are slipping right now. So there's these people out there who believe that possibly somehow she'll wind up in the VP slot in 2012. Is that just utter nonsense, or, you know, is there some logic to that thinking?
I don't know. After she lost the nomination, she seemed to go through some things. So
yeah,
I don't know. It seems like she's at peace with herself, with where she is in the world. 8 years is a long time. You know, to have the energy to run a national campaign after the health care issue has been voted on and settled and passed, after our economy has done what it's going to do, whether we, you know, get back to normal or growing rampantly at that time, there's a lot of what-ifs that you'd have to consider 8 years from now.
Yeah,
but,
sure.
But you mentioned the president's rating that's slipping, and something else I looked up last night. The 7-month presidential rating for Obama is right around 55%.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time in his administration for Bush, it was the same number.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that.
And Clinton, at this point,
was lower.
In his first 7 months, was at 44%.
Right, right. Significantly lower.
I think Obama's doing okay, especially given the plate he was handed.
Absolutely true. Absolutely true. This marks, as we speak, this marks the 200th day of the Obama administration. There have been some grades floating around for his first 100 days and for his second 100 days. The numbers, the grades I saw were a compilation, I believe, of CNN and Facebook. Go figure. The first 100 days, C+. The second 100 days, C+. I personally, as you said and alluded to, given the hand that he was dealt, the plate that he has to deal with, I mean, there's been some mistakes, some things that he, of course, I mean, you know, that he could have handled differently. But I mean, I'm falling down on the line of around a B minus, I would think, taken into consideration what he had to deal with. What's your sense? And you know, I hesitate in throwing grades on stuff, but what's your sense of after 200 days where he's going? We see that obviously healthcare is the big issue that he's faced with right now. But after this week and with that unemployment number coming down and signs and indications that the recession may be at its end, I mean, could it be brighter days ahead for the Obama administration? It looks that way.
I'd say a strong B right now.
Mm-hmm.
To me, in my mind, if you're going to say A, B, C, D, if we're going to look at this from a letter grade standpoint, I think that the ability to focus on multiple areas at the same time is something we're still not fully appreciating yet.
Sure.
That they've got their attention on domestic, foreign, the stimulus, health, children's health, regular health insurance reform, a lot of things that we're looking at, energy. We've got a lot of things going on that we're really not going to see any fruit from for probably another 12 to 18 months.
Sure.
But when we do, and it all starts to come together, I think we're going to really appreciate the fact that he took the initiative to get all these things moving now.
Mm-hmm.
With the president, you got to do it when you get in office.
True.
There's really no time like the present or president.
And true. And if he did not move on healthcare now, it would not get done. Period. But there's no
no.
Yeah, there's no other explanation. Two of the mistakes, in my mind, that he made reared their heads earlier this week. Well, actually, it was over the weekend, last weekend during the talk shows. Tim Geithner and Larry Summers, who I personally, I don't know. It's like, you know, putting, you know, I heard one commentator say it's like putting OJ in charge of the crime scene or Madoff in charge of the money. Literally putting Bernie Madoff in charge of the money. I don't understand why. I understand the explanation, but I don't fully understand why. But anyway, the thing that happened was, it seemed like both Geithner and Summers kept the door open to what would amount to a middle class tax hike, something that Obama campaigned vigorously against when he was Senator Obama. And the White House was very quick to knock that down and say that's not going to happen. What were Geithner and Summers thinking?
You know, sometimes I wonder if they use those two to float ideas out there.
That's a good point. That's a good point, just to put stuff out.
Trial balloons, just to see what kind of reception they'll get.
Yeah.
Since they've already gotten reputations as loose cannons or lone wolves or whatever it is that the press has decided that Geithner and Tim Summers are going to play as far as their roles in the administration are concerned.
Yeah.
So sometimes I wonder about that. The work that Summers and Geithner have to do is very complex.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a tough job. They don't do a great job of simplifying it in a way that helps the public to understand what it is they're trying to accomplish.
Yeah. Yeah.
Neither of them is very good at the public relations end of their job. So they've kind of left that on the president. So I don't know. They may have been off message that day. They may have been tired. Summers is prone to do what he wants to do. I don't know how long he's going to make it in this administration, but we'll see.
Yeah, yeah. It was an interesting week. And like I said at the top, you know, coming off of the week that the president had last week, this was a breath of fresh air. And I think really this unemployment number has the potential to really, really be a dramatic shot in the arm for an administration that is being ridiculed widely, not just from the right, but by some on the left. I mean, yeah, by some on the left for his handling of the economic situation, even though This was a monstrous situation that was handed to him. He is taking on some water because of it. But is if these unemployment numbers, I mean, the thought was, even from the Obama administration, was that the number would go to 10% and maybe a little bit beyond before it would come back. And now you see it coming back a little bit before at 9.5. You see the stock market, as you indicated earlier in the conversation, you know, making drastic gains. GM coming out of bankruptcy in 40 days. So there are economic indicators that suggest strongly that we are moving rather quickly on the right track after coming back from what was almost Armageddon on September 15th, when John McCain declared the fundamentals of the economy are strong. So it's going to be interesting over the next several months to see how it all plays out.
I think one of the things, the Cash for Clunkers program,
yeah,
and I don't know if it's just serendipity, it came at the right time.
Exactly true.
It's popular. It's simple. You ride into a dealership with an old car. You ride out with a new one.
Right.
It's getting all the headlines, but the thing that's really still hanging over our heads is the Moolah for Mortgages program, which we know better as the Federal Loan Modification Program.
Uh-huh.
That's the one that really needs a jump start.
Yeah.
Because they're falling behind on these loan modifications. There are too many mortgages out there that aren't going to be paid back at the current rate because of lack of income or less income or interest rates that have risen because of the type of loan that the person took out in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's something I'd like to see them do a better job of addressing. I mean, they've got lenders out there that say they want to cooperate but don't seem to be doing a lot to really push the process forward in a way that gets more people into a modification agreement quicker.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's a big thing that they're going to have to address soon.
Mm-hmm. Chris Broughton, author of the nationally syndicated blog Brown Man Thinking Hard and author of the book Work in Progress, Recarving Our Cultural Totem Pole, due to be available in February 2010. Chris, it was a pleasure talking to you, brother.
Sean, it was fantastic. I hope I get to come back again.
We will bring you back. There's no doubt about it.
All right.
Thank you, man. Chris Broughton with the blog Brown Man Thinking Hard. We're going to go to a break. You're listening to the WEAA Afro First Edition. Stay tuned.